we shared a few weeks ago. And then this is part three of that, where we'll pick up. So 1 John chapter 2 is where this most current lesson will come from. And we'll jump down through to verse number 15. Very familiar text for most. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've heard these verses, most of us, as all of our Christian lives. But it ought to resonate as true, because it is. It's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God put down through holy men of old literally what he wanted said. And the King James translators translated it under the oversight of God, I believe, a special project to give us the Bible in our mother tongue. Obviously not breathed out, but perfectly preserved. Hence we hold the very inspired words of God in the King James Bible. And he said things and he meant them, and he literally says, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, it's pretty encompassing. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And it gives us a reason here on why we should not love the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And of course, there's much more in this book. We went through 1 John a couple years ago, maybe. I'm not sure when it was. But let's have a word of prayer, and we'll just jump in and get the lesson this afternoon, and then we'll call it a day. Lord, thank you for your book. It does seem like those that stick with the true Word of God are going to be viewed in a poor light, mostly by the brethren, as we're so comfortable with a Christianity of convenience. And honestly, of carnality, where the flesh and the spirit are invited to mix. But if we understand anything of you and your nature, the spirit and the flesh can't mix. This world system and your kingdom system can't get along. Well, we don't have to be unkind. We don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to lord over the flock. But we can be holy as you are holy. We can be separated as you have commanded us to be, that we might be a peculiar people, that we might be a clean and a holy people that our God would be pleased to move in and work in. Would you teach us what we should know through this next several weeks of study, that we might be in line with this book, regardless of who we become out of line with, that we might stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, to recap quickly, and again, our church knows, or most of you do anyway, Sunday mornings, I'm never by the clock of a guy anyway. Most of you weren't here, but Brother Lehman was. Brother Malloy, Sister Saban were. Pastor Chuck Barnes was here for years, 20 years, and he doesn't need a clock. He can get up, preach, get it all in 30 minutes, and get down without ever looking at the time. He's just done it for decades, 40-something years of preaching. Sunday morning, typically we'll preach until the sermon is done. Brother John and I were talking about that right before the service. And I say, when the flight has ended, land the plane. If it's an hour, it's an hour. If it's 15 minutes, it's 15 minutes. Sunday afternoon, I on purpose try to stay more aware of the time, and Wednesday night, because I want us to get what the Lord has for us. But about a half hour is what I stick with on Sunday afternoons. Wednesday night's a little flexible. But to quickly try to recap where we've been before the holidays and bring us up to where we're going to be for separation. We said, number one, separation is a major doctrine. And I don't say it that way to imply that there's minor doctrine, but there is doctrine in Scripture that is weightier than others. But separation is a major doctrine. We said, number two, separation is for spiritual protection. It is not the work of the ministry. It is not the main thing. It protects the work of the ministry. It's Nehemiah putting up a wall to protect what Zerubbabel and Ezra and others have already built, the temple. They found the Word of God. They've established the worship of God again. And they're going to build a wall to protect that. If all we have is walls for the sake of having walls, we might be good Baptists, but it's not a good Biblicist. The walls don't mean anything if there's nothing that they're there for. But separation is for spiritual protection. It protects that holiness, that relationship with God. Number three, we said there's two kinds of separation. There's moral separation, and then there's ecclesiastical separation. And we've started with moral separation because those that fail to separate morally and be holy will eventually separate ecclesiastically as well. Number four, we said separation is holiness. It's based on the holy character of God. I'm not the standard. You aren't the standard. No Bible college is the standard. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only standard bearer. And all of us fall short of that without His help. But separation is holiness. We said number five, to be Baptist used to mean to be a separatist. You go back prior to the mid-1900s when a lot of our big name preachers that you and I both know changed our doctrines and changed our way of doing things to keep up with the mega church boom. Before that, to be Baptist was pretty synonymous with separatist. Number six, we said separation is not a matter of heritage. It's not both how we've always done things. Separation is a matter of being a biblicist. What does the Bible say? How does it say to live? Who does it say to run with, etc.? And then we said number seven, we've got to prepare ourselves to practice separation. I said we can start out simply. Just get a good King James Bible. Get a good dictionary or a good concordance if you need one. Though the Bible has a built-in dictionary that does a pretty good job. But get some good study tools if you need them. And then test everything by the Word of God. Test everyone by the Word of God. We've said it for inside this church and outside this church that we ought to be a church that receives the truth that comes from the pulpit. But the people that go home and research the truth to see if it's actually truth. And then respond to it. I've never ascribed to this idea of because a suit and a tie says it and then gives an invitation, you have to come decide based on what that man said. Study it for yourself. And if you study the scriptures regularly, you'll have that knowledge. You can do that right in a service and say, no, I know that's true because the scriptures say this and that. But test everything and everyone by the Bible. So all right, so then we said that was what separation intro was. And then we gave some things that separation is not. Number one, so we said separation is not isolationism. It is not where we just go into a little commune somewhere and it's our four and no more. Philippians 2 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So it's not being someone who just stays to themselves, no contact with the outside world. We said number two, separation is not antiquarianism. It is not Amishism or Luddism or any of those others that basically it's a group that resists progress in technology. So separation is not isolationism. It's not antiquarianism. We said separation is not Phariseeism. Pharisees love to focus on minor things while ignoring major things. And every time I say that, I think of illustrations, which I should think of my own life. But you and I could both tell stories of ministries and of men who are known for their ministry for harping on some very minor things while covering and ignoring their own immorality and assaults on. The stories are in the hundreds in our movement. They focus on minor things while ignoring major things. That's an extreme, but we do the same. We can be guilty of the same thing. So he said, Phariseeism is self-righteousness while looking down on others. I've declared myself to be righteous according to my understanding of the law, but you are not worthy of the same. So separation is not isolationism, it's not antiquarianism, it's not Phariseeism. So what is it? Just give you one today. There'll be 7 or 8 or 9 of them that we go through over the next few weeks. Number one, according to this text of 1 John, separation is to love not the world. Separation is to love not the world. And we say this, or say it this way, the world that he is referring to is not creation. He's not referring to a created being as far as a man or a beast or even nature itself or anything innocent that man has made. There are things that can be innocent by God's design or by man's coming up with something and putting it into existence that are innocent in and of themselves that can be corrupted. But he says love not the world. He's not saying don't love nature, don't love animals, don't love mankind, don't love the things that man has made. We have some a few examples of that. And we could go through many, many more. We said dancing. There's morally innocent dancing. And there's lust-inducing dancing. And right there, that causes questions and concerns. And because Baptists don't dance. You know the reason we don't dance? Because we can't. We're just jealous of everybody who can. No, I am not endorsing dancing. I'm just saying, husband and wife, whatever, that's your business. Music. There's morally uncorrupt music. Maybe it's not the Psalm, 150 chapters, but it's morally uncorrupt music. There's a soundtrack of something. There's a classical piece. But there's other music that is sensual in nature. Pop, country, 100% of contemporary Christian music that is designed, it's sensual in nature, meaning appealing to the senses. That I can take words that are Christian enough that the Christians will accept it and a sound in a crowd that is worldly enough that the world will accept it, marry the two. It can't be. So I'm saying there's some things that are innocent that can be corrupted. We said dress. There are some fashions of dress that are just morally innocent. And then there's dress that is immodest, that is unisex, or that would be guilty by association, etc. Just gets us thinking anyway. The world refers. He said, love not the world. It's referring to the evil things associated with man's fallen heart. And he gives them what that is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The sinful passions and vanities of this life. Says the lust of the flesh. Any unlawful passions of my old nature. Things that are unlawful, out of bounds, not okay, but of our old nature. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Using our eyes for unlawful purposes. It started, Eve did it, Lot did it, others have done it. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's anything associated with man's vanity. Self-love, self-confidence, give all the self-helps today. Self-ambition, self-glory, self-boasting, seeking honor and titles and prestige. And I'm not just describing Baptist preachers, I'm describing the bride of... Stop criticizing Baptist preachers so much because I are one. And how we have done business for decades bothers me. The pride of life. Those three, that's the world. He's saying to love anything or to love anyone, even myself, more than Christ is idolatry. To be loyal to anything or anyone more than Christ is idolatry. Deuteronomy 6 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The true disciple swears allegiance to one, and that is Christ. And the disciple of Christ, he says, to be a separatist, to be separated, is not to love the world. We are not to allow this world to capture our heart and our affections. In part, he's referring to the world system. In 1 John 5, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's two different systems. You got God's system, which was very good from the beginning, a perfect system, and you have the world system of doing things. A world system that was created by fallen man out of rebellion. A world now that has a system since the days of Cain, really Adam and Eve, but they did business with God, but Cain, that is in open rebellion to God and his law. So there's two systems. It's love not the world. If you love them, you love this system, this philosophy, this fallen nature and rebellion to God and his law, you don't love God. You can't do both. Every person has to make a choice. God or the world. To choose one is to reject the other. And many times to choose one means you are rejected by the other. So the world system, I alluded to this, began in the days of Cain. He rejected God's plan. He rebels against God. Without going to Genesis 4, he then goes out from the presence of God, it says, and builds that first city. And you go down through Genesis 4 and talk about their instruments and their cattle. It became a whole city, a whole system built on entertainment and enterprise. But a system that was bent on living without God and without his law. You fast forward, is it chapter 11 maybe of Genesis? That world system gets developed a little more in the days of Nimrod. When they attempt to build the Tower of Babel. We'll make a name for ourselves. When the scriptures are clear that after the flood, God told mankind, go fill the earth. But here they are congregating at Babel and they build a society out of rebellion and pride and idolatrous religion. And that philosophy has developed in different ways, but has remained the philosophy of the world through today. It's a system that has been built or created out of rebellion against God, out of the pride of man's heart, out of religion that is idolatrous religion. We could say this, the devil is the god of this world. The Bible says it. He's the head of the world system. So if I am trying to love and have my affections captured by and walk in step with this world system, I am almost, could say it this way, I'm trying to make a deal with the devil. And I also love God though, because I'm a believer and I know Jesus, but I can have, you can't do both. The devil's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. 1 John 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we won't go there today necessarily, but the final aspect of the world system is described in Revelation 18 with the end time Babylon. That's a system that is still built on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. A snippet of that is Revelation 18, 12 to 14. It says this: the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Talking about the destruction of that world system of Babylon, but how it was built on what is my desire, what are my appetites, what is my lust, what is goodly to me, what is desirable to me. Well, 1 John chapter 2, we're going to keep hitting this because it's the next step to continue on in these lessons for the next several weeks. He says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And again, chapter 5, just a couple chapters later, says the whole world lieth in wickedness. It is impossible to love the world and God. And so many, it is the main brand of Christianity today, which is anything but Christ-like. That I can love Jesus and have a heart that's in love with this world. You can't. That I can blend Jesus and blend this world. Not and have the blessings of God. It is the emerging church, which is not just new in my generation, but it's time my generation picks up the mantle of contending for the faith. Because the philosophy has been around since the days of Cain, but the emerging church and modern religion as we know it in the West is idolatry. It is full to the gills of shallow fleshly music, unsound shallow doctrine, no standards. It is an illegitimate merging of Christ with the world. Colossians says he is the head of the body. That's Christ. He's the head of the body of the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So a world system and a world culture is not of God. It is built by man in rebellion to God and his laws. And a right worldview, which would be a scriptural worldview, is this world is not my friend. And any brand of Christianity, independent, Baptist, or otherwise, that embraces and illegitimately incorporates the sounds and the teachings and the philosophies of this world with Christ is not my friend. The right worldview teaches me that is not my friend. And I must walk, we must walk with great spiritual vigilance. Literally, the mindset is I am a soldier in enemy territory. This world is not my friend. Those that have the appearance of godliness but deny the power thereof are not my friends. From such, turn away. Nowhere does he say be mean and nasty about it. Rather, he says don't fight about it. Stop striving. Be gentle. Be apt to teach. Be meek. We dealt with that this morning. There is a way to try to speak the truth in love where it's void of Phariseeism and it's just the truth spoken in love. But to say I am going to practice separation, what does it mean? It means that I am not to love this world. There's nothing in this world for me. Since its inception under Cain's ultimate rebellion, it has been created, designed by fallen man as they were influenced by their father, the devil. That's not compatible with Christ. God is holy. And you go through the scriptures, God hates the different lusts that he lists. God hates pride. It's an abomination to him. And if God said, I am holy and I abhor lusts and pride, and that is what characterizes the world system that lieth in wickedness, then I can't be friends with that and be friends with him. If I am to please God, I cannot love the world that opposes Him, religious or otherwise. And He gives them that. We're going to be done here in just a minute. It'll be earlier than we thought. In verse number, the why really, or the weight of it, in verse number 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That right worldview teaches me this world is not my friend. Empty, idolatrous religion is not my friend. My God is holy. My God hates lust. He hates the prides. Those things he describes in Proverbs, is it 6 or 7, and other places. So I can't be a friend with him and be a friend with that. I must be separated. I must keep myself. I must guard myself, because I am not living for that which is going to fade away. This world is passing away. This world is under the judgment of God, and He will smash this world, if you will, with a rod of iron when He returns. We deal with that, and it's seeming to go together with Hebrews and other texts that we've been in, which looking and living for a different world. So we'll take the next several weeks and develop these different reasons. I only want to give us one. Never know where to cut it off. Sometimes it's too long, sometimes it's too short. But just to see what the Lord would do. But number one, what is it to be? What is separation? It is to love not the world. The idea, though, as we go through this, because we can't get it all out in one setting, is I am not just separating from. We have been good for decades in our movement from separating from. We don't run with that. We don't go with them. We separate from that music. We separate from that entertainment. We separate from that and this and them. And it's all been a whole list of thou shalt nots. And I'm for separating from anything that is not in line with the book. But the emphasis of separation in Scripture is not just separate from. It is I'm separating to. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he goes right into talking about being our Father and our God, and he'll be with us and we'll be with him. It is because I'm trying to separate myself unto Jesus Christ, I must separate myself from anything that would hinder or harm them. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments, any input? I haven't done it in a while, so I catch you off guard if you're still awake yet. The clock says 4:15. Whatever the time says. The battery died last Wednesday night and I didn't get around to replacing it. Yeah, 4:15. But we try to. So if you want to keep that in mind too for the next few weeks, we'll go back to that format. If I think of it, we have been, when our lesson will stop after a point and say, hey, does anybody have anything? And kind of get a discussion back and forth. Sometimes we don't even get off that point because there's just a lot of good feedback. And sometimes it's not 100% agreement. And that's okay. Because it makes us all think. We all go home and say, hey, well, that's what I thought. What does the Bible say? And then we can come back and say, oh, right. Let's unify around the Scriptures. And if you're right and I'm wrong, I'll say so. You'll say so as well, I hope. And if you're wrong and I'm right, or we're both wrong, we come to a conclusion around the Scriptures, I hope. Especially as we delve through separation as such a weighty topic. Because you say, well, I got to separate from everything and everyone. Paul said for that to happen, you got to leave the planet. But there are biblical principles in place of who and what to separate from in order to be separated unto God. But any thoughts, questions, concerns, ideas, comments from the crowd, brother?
This doesn't happen.